Student Union presents a night of live music starting at 5 p.m. on November 29th at the Student Union Building Ballroom on SFU Burnaby campus, featuring Sleepy Gonzalez, the Lunchtime Band, and Tiger Really. Tickets are $15, available online or at the door while they last. Open to all ages and everyone.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Today on Wings. In 2025, the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to a woman who is working to bring down the current leader of Venezuela. She's the 20th woman named to that award. But 20 years earlier, in 2005, women around the world created a campaign to jointly recognize 1,000 examples of the millions of women around the world who struggle to prevent and repair the vast human damage from violent conflict. From the Wings Archive, you'll first hear Nusrat Ara's report on what some of those women did and are still doing in war-torn Kashmir.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
I believe every one of us, whosoever lives in this Kashmir society, we all have to understand that how our Kashmiri sisters or the brothers are suffering from. They have gone through the turmoil. So I think it is all of our duty. It's not because I'm a social activist. That makes me a social activist because I'm helping them. Because all of us has to help them because a lot has, things have worsened. So that is how I think we have to come to the field and we all have to work for the people. Because it is the suffering of the people which have made me to realize we should help them. We have to help them.
You're listening to Wings. This is Nusrat Ara. And in this issue, we go to Indian administered Kashmir and talk to three women who figured in the 1,000 Peace Women book. The 1,000 Peace Women listed by the project were nominated together for the Nobel Peace Prize 2005. The 1,000 women missed the Nobel Prize, but the 1,000 Peace Women project says it met its objective as it brought to light the work and efforts of thousands of women around the world who strive daily for a better future for their communities. The armed insurgency broke out in Indian administered Kashmir in 1989. Thousands were killed and many more orphaned. The daily violence has made the life of people in Kashmir miserable. In this scenario, some people rose to the occasion and tried to elevate the sufferings of the people around them. Nigha Chafi Pandit was one among them.
I have never worked for any prizes or peace awards or anything. I have never had that in my mind. I started this because it was, I think, my soul wanted some peace. I saw blood all around. I saw orphans all around.
And as the Peace Women Project says, Nigat Pandit stepped out of her comfortable home to address the trauma of people.
I came back from Delhi and I saw that the need for helping out children, basically, who was suffering due to the turmoil. A few friends, like-minded people, we decided to start an organization by the name of Health Foundation. Health means human effort for love and peace, which we very much needed in this valley. So we started with helping out children for their educational needs. And we started giving sustenance allowance to widows so that at least they could take care of their day-to-day lives. Presently, we have an orphanage which caters to 25 kids. Their boarding, lodging, educational facilities and everything is taken care of. Then besides that, we have two schools which cater to only poor children where there are 150 orphans. We give them free education. And besides that, we give financial assistance to children who are with their mothers as well, who come to our office, take monthly allowances for their educational needs.
In spite of running an orphanage, Nighat says orphanages are not a solution. She believes in helping out children in their home environment
So I think they need to stay home with their mothers or guardians, have the same environment, but if they need financial assistance and guidance, we should be always there. I'm simply saying that we have to first go and visit all the places, identify the orphans, don't get them into the orphanages, help them out at their homes, but put stress on education. Because now we see the new generation, the backlashing that has taken place is basically the education sector. Our schools were burnt, our children were without schools for a long time. I think we should basically concentrate on the education of the children so that at least we have a bright future, we have a future generation that is educated.
Nikhat says the number of orphans and widows in Kashmir is very large, and all the NGOs working here put together are catering to a very small segment. There is no data available on the total number of orphans and widows in Kashmir.
My estimate is, the way everybody keeps on asking me how many orphans, I said every day we have casualties of 20 people or 15 people. Out of 20 or 15, at least 10 are with families. If a man dies, he leaves behind at least 4 or 5 kids. We don't have small families, we have huge families. So every day you see the number is multiplying. So what I think is nearly 80,000 orphans we have in the valley. And we are catering to a very, very small number.
The Help Foundation also takes care of around 60 widows and provides them sustenance allowance and financial assistance for the marriage of their girls. But it lays emphasis on enabling the needy women to earn their own livelihood. While Nikhat worked to alleviate the sufferings of people around her, Parveena Ahengar was a victim of the situation herself. Parveena has been fighting for justice since 1990. Parveena's trials began when her son was picked up by the Indian security agencies. Since then, she is fighting for his whereabouts. She is the chairperson of Association of Parents of Disappeared Persons Kashmir. APDP says more than 8,000 people have disappeared in the last 16 years. It's not just the matter of my son. All those 10,000 disappeared are my children. Parveena's is a story of courage and perseverance. She is fighting a hopeless system where justice is ever elusive. Parveena filed a petition in High Court seeking information about the whereabouts of her son. And as Parveena says, she is yet to get any news of him. I filed a petition in the court. I could not get justice. I have done all the formalities, but nothing came out. The judge kept my case in an open day. He told me I had done all the needful, but it was beyond his power to punish the accused officers. Nothing came out. So I thought it was better to work in the association. So I went door to door, gathered families like me, encouraged them to file cases. Many of them were under pressure and they were afraid of security forces. I told them we should gather and stay united. Our voices will be heard once we are together.
Though justice was elusive, Parveena did not give up. She gathered families like her and formed the Association of Parents of Disappeared Persons, or APDP, in 1995. Parveena encouraged many of the relatives of disappeared to file petitions.
We were not allowed to sit anywhere, so we sat at the gate of the High Court. Then I said we should gather at my house. So we used to meet at my house on 15th and 30th of every month. People said, "What did you get out of fighting for so long?" They told me nothing comes out of it. You will get nothing. It's better for you to start asking for jobs for your children. I said, I don't need anything, neither money nor jobs for my children. I'll search for my children till I'm alive. My son went missing in 1990. I used to go to various army camps, police stations, various officers, ministers. There I used to see so many other people like me. After following our cases, nothing came out of it. So, in 1995, we formed an association.
The members of the APDP meet frequently, mostly at her house or in a public park. APDP is also building a memorial for disappeared in Kashmir. In the outskirts of Srinagar, the memorial will house a library and a gallery with pictures and information about the Kashmir's disappeared. Parveena is also the member of AFHAD, Asian Federation Against Involuntary Disappearances.
In 2000, I went to Philippines for a conference. There were delegations from many countries like Pakistan, Spain, China, America. After I returned from Philippines, we laid a foundation stone for a memorial for our disappeared at Idga. But the police dug out the stone and filed an FIR against us. We don't have a trace of our missing children. We want a place where we could go. We have no graveyards to go to. In April, we bought land in Lavipura and laid a foundation stone for the memorial of the disappeared. At least we will have a place to go and remember our children.
For Parveena, narrating her tale is not always easy. Many a time she breaks down.
For 15 years, I have been fighting. My son was a student, plus two student. He was innocent. I searched for him in every prison of India. I could not find a trace of him. Someone would come to me and say, your son is in so and so prison. I would arrange expenses for the travel and rush to the prison to see if he was there. Even today, if someone comes and tells me, your son is in a certain prison, I'll just rush to check out.
Even her family would ask her to give up.
My husband fell ill because of all this exertion. They would say nothing comes out of it, so leave all this. But I refused. I told them I won't give up, even if they throw me out of the house.
Parveena was also offered money to give up her struggle.
They offered me 10 lakh rupees. I said I didn't want the money. If they have killed my son, let them give me his dead body. If they don't have the dead body, let them show me his photograph that he has been killed. They don't admit they have arrested the children. If they haven't, why do they pay their parents? My son was taken by security forces. I also know the names of the officers who picked him up. The government gives no answers to our demands. We ask them to set up a commission to inquire. They say these people have gone across the border. That's a lie. APDP is the association of the relatives of only those people who were arrested by the security forces. Most of the kin even know the names of battalions and officers who picked up their children. How come someone crosses the border when they arrested him?
Parveena's fight has not ended. She resolves to strive for justice.
They have taken our children and we don't know where they have kept them. We don't know if they are dead or alive. If they'll give us the dead bodies, we'll be assured of their death. They tell us nothing. They don't admit they took them. We struggled, though we could not get the whereabouts of any disappeared. But we'll get justice one day. And what's important is that as we fought together, the practice of disappearing people was reduced to a great extent. It's not so much prevalent now, and I think that's the fruit of our efforts.
When Parveena was nominated by the Peace Women Project, she said it came as a recognition of her efforts and will encourage many women like her to fight for their rights.
You should make us.
I'm happy, for it will make my association strong. It's going to encourage a lot of people. They'll see that if an illiterate housewife like me can work so hard, fight for her rights, they too can. But I am also sad. Now I am the mother of all the 10,000 disappeared.
On Wings, these are Nusrat Ara's recordings of women dealing with violence in Kashmir. The conflict dates back to the partition of India and Pakistan in 1947. It surged into armed revolt against India's administrative control in 1989. disappearances, torture, and killings with impunity are still being reported as of 2025. Nusrat's interviewees are among the 1,000 women jointly recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize and are featured in the book 1,000 Peace Women Across the Globe.
The third Kashmiri woman listed by the 1,000 Peace Women Project is Dilafroz Qazi, an educationist.
I'm running an engineering college since 1999 and then a polytechnic, which is a very old polytechnic of the valley, which I was started in 1988. Besides that, we are running the master's programs also. So that is my work I do as a social activist. I am running 3 free schools for the militancy victims. One school is in Kupwara, the other school is in Dangarpura Sambal, the third one is in Devar Parihaspura. These schools are run by me or by my trust purely on a free basis. We don't charge even a single naya paisa from the students. It's for the poor and for the militancy victim people. Especially we give the more importance to the girl child there in the schools.
Dilafroz says in the 16-year-old conflict, the women of Kashmir are worsted.
Besides that, I am working with the women because the women has been the most victim. They are the ones who are at the receiving end. So I am working with the women. This time I am working with the women. Those are the women who were raped in 1991 in Kuran Poshpura. Nothing has been done by the government to those women. They were ridiculed by their own community, by everyone, so their living was very worst. So I reached to that place in 2001.
Dilafroz was moved by the trauma of women raped by the Indian security forces in the Kunan Poshpura village of Kashmir in 1990.
So I was thinking, what should I do for those women so that they come up with a standard living and with a respectable life? I gave them one hybrid cow each to each woman.
Qazi says there was little she could do for them.
I said, I'm not doing anything. I've given them just the cows, which has given them, you know, that is just a small contribution where they have been able to earn their own living in a small way.
Qazi adds, Kunan Poshpura was just one instance that was reported.
There are so many women like Kunan Poshpura, because Kunan Poshpura got the publicity, because that was a mass rape. There are thousands of girls who cannot say that they have been raped by anyone. Any man who is carrying a gun, whether he's a militant or a military, he has a power in his hand. And otherwise also, the woman is a weak creature. So there are a lot of things are going behind the curtain. Many of the cases are not coming to the front. Many of the cases are not being told to the media. I believe every one of us, whosoever lives in this Kashmir society, we all have to understand how our Kashmiri sisters or the brothers are suffering from. They have gone through the turmoil. So I think it is all of our duty. It's not because I'm a social activist. That makes me a social activist, because I'm helping them. Because all of us has to help them. Because, I mean, lot has, I mean, things have worsened. So that is how I think we have to come to the field, and we all have to work for the people, because it is the suffering of the people which have made me to realize we should help them. We have to help them. The work I have done is just a small contribution. It is just a small contribution. We have to do a lot. There are thousands and thousands of women, thousands of households, thousands of mothers have lost their sons, thousands of women have lost their husbands, thousands of sisters have lost their brothers, and families have been shattered. We all, even if all the civil society, all of us who are somehow better than the what they are going through, we must come and help them.
The plight of women in Kashmir can be best understood in a village called Dardpura. Located close to the line of control in Kashmir, Dardpura has about 300 widows.
most of them widowed by the conflict. Most of the widows here are the ones whose husbands were militants and were killed by Indian armed forces in anti-insurgency operations. Haseena is one among them. Haseena's husband, Sherwali, a militant, was killed in 1993, 6 years after their marriage.
For the last 12 years, I have raised my children. It has been a tough time. I have raised many small loans on our little land to take care of the family. I haven't repaid anything. I know I am going to lose all this land meant for my children. I have already sold some of the land we had. Last year I sold off the land to pay for the studies of my children. My daughter is cancer patient. She has a tumor in her stomach.
The Jammu and Kashmir government pays an ex gratia amount of rupees 1 lakh to the kin of people killed in the conflict in Kashmir. The families of killed militants are, however, exempted and not provided any financial assistance by the government.
I get no assistance from anywhere. Pakistan doesn't help us. India doesn't help us. Every year I apply for any kind of possible assistance. Whenever I apply for any kind of assistance, the applications are returned. They say he was a militant. What can I do? I was not a militant. My children are not. I never picked up the gun. What's my crime? What is the crime of my children? Why are we being punished?
Haseena says people in her village are too poor to help widows like her.
This is a poor area. The widows are in pathetic condition. People here too are not in a position to help. This is a backward area. People here live hand to mouth. Have many children to feed. How will they help
us?
Death is better than this life. We are only made to pose for press photographers. Nobody helps us. Only make us pose for pictures.
Like Haseena, there are so many widows in this village. 30-year-old Naseema is physically challenged. Her husband, Sayyid Noor Hassan, was killed just 1 year after their marriage. Naseema relies on the help from her neighbors and relatives to take care of her son. She has also taken loans for her son's study.
I have no source of income. I just rely on the help of others. I raised a loan of 40,000 rupees last year for the studies of my son.
Like most of the widows in this village, Naseema did not remarry, fearing her child would be neglected.
I am just living for my child. I want him to study and get a good job.
Apart from the widows of militants, there are many widows of men killed by militants on charge of being informers. Shaha is one such widow in Dardpora. Her husband, Mohammed Abdullah Bhatt, was killed by unidentified gunmen while returning home.
He was shot and killed in the dark. We could not find the trace of killers. I have 7 children. One of my sons has reached to class 10. But it's only because of the help of the villagers who helped him study. One of my sons was lost in Punjab. He had gone to work there. But the person he went to work for told us that he had left for home. My daughters have reached the age of marriage, but I have no resources. If I had, I would have married them all.
A proposal by previous Jammu and Kashmir government to grant ex gratia to widows of militants was rejected by the Indian government. For Wings, this is Nusrat Ara.
Wings thanks Nusrat Ara for these interviews. The organizations you heard discussed can be found online. They are the HELP Foundation, the Association of Parents of Disappeared Persons, and the Asian Federation Against Involuntary Disappearances. A multilingual organization based in Switzerland shares information and promotes visibility of and for women peacemakers. They can be found at 1000peacewomen.org, but are now called Peace Women Across the Globe. We close this episode of Wings with words from Indian feminist economist Devaki Jain, who is also featured in the book 1000 Peace Women Across the Globe. She was recorded by Lise Anzia while engaged in live discussion during the book's launch at the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women.
I have been saying to those who say, oh, you're one of the peace women, that they were trying to signal a symbol to, in a sense, challenge the fact that a man gets a Nobel Award for doing some individual brilliant thing in science or in economics. And surely he couldn't have done it without 100 others who had built up the bricks which made that happen. And women would never assume that an individual can do anything, but it's always a collective effort. And in this history book that I tried to do over the last 3 years, I found it was always collective will and then collective strategizing and no individual heroism. So in a sense, I felt it was making a feminist point that there's no single person who can make a difference, but it's only a collectivity, a community, a feminist solidarity that can make a difference. And so one would like to see it as a symbol, and I hope whether they give the Nobel to us or not, I think we made that point, and it's all of you who made it happen.
Thank you.
Indian feminist economist Devaki Jain, who is also featured in the book 1000 Peace Women Across the Globe. In 2005, she had just released her book Women, Development, and the UN, A 60-Year Quest for Equality and Justice. Speaking in the same discussion was Betty Reardon, founder of the International Institute on Peace Education.
I want to say thank you 1,000 times. Thank you to all the women who have been nominated. I want to say thank you to those who initiated this idea and to indicate that it is not only these 1,000 women whom we thank, but all of the thousands that each one of the women of the 1,000 represent. All the different skills and the different approaches to this. Peace is going to come from the ground, from the people working day by day and not stopping no matter how bad it gets. But we also know that our work on the ground is going to be determined by what happens at the top. And those of us on the ground have to work to change things on the top and all the way in between, so that we can have a real world of partnership between men and women and people at all levels of society to work for peace.
Peace educator Betty Reardon speaking in 2005. Betty died in 2023 at age 94. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, the International Association of Women in Radio and Television, and Genevieve Vaughan, whose events can be viewed on the website maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Listening to CJSF at 90.1 FM in Burnaby. CJSF is diverse, independent, and yours, sharing music and voices from genres and cultures around the world, reflecting you and the rest of your community. You make CJSF diverse.